Cavani with the pump fake and one dribble inside to the long two, and he makes it. That's been his game his whole career. But look at him smiling. We go, my bad. The long two.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Long Two.
Nice.
I am Pete Rogers. Thank you. That was Natty Wallach. And we are a Camilla Stanthony podcast. And we've upped our fantasy basketball talk. Natty, how are you doing this week?
It's lovely here in Brooklyn. I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Good. Coming off of a very Friday was Becca's, my wife's birthday.
Oh,
and
nice.
So coming off of a very relaxing weekend in which my parents came up and watched our dog, and we went out and safely stayed at a hotel for two nights. And I am now
just
getting back.
Got a keg and did keg stands all weekend.
Exactly.
In your hotel room.
I mean, that's nice. The safest way to celebrate a birthday. And now I'm watching the Celtics blow out the Magic, as well they should.
We're going to talk about Orlando. We are going to talk about Orlando.
Hopefully there's going to be lots to talk about Orlando in the coming weeks, because hopefully they're going to be selling some pieces at the nearing deadline.
They have the second worst record in the East. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Isn't that nuts?
That is kind of nuts. I feel like they totally should just be like, okay, we're just going to basically rebuild this team around Jonathan Isaac and just sell everyone and be like, Jonathan Isaac is our guy and we're now on his timeline, and we're just going to hope that this is a Joel Embiid situation where, you know, like the first couple of years of his career are just short, you know, kind of crushed by injury, but then ultimately things will get better.
The NBA trade deadline is Thursday. The MVP race has gotten super interesting because now Embiid and LeBron are both out.
Time to lock up, Damian.
The tournament's ongoing in college. Like, there's just a lot of moving pieces right now. Basketball accelerated into ridiculous speed.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of questions out there. And I don't really know if there are actually good answers. Speaking of Aaron Gordon, he's looked lights out for the Orlando Magic over the past couple of games.
I saw rumors that he could be getting traded to the Blazers.
I would just love that so goddamn hard. Just so goddamn hard. That's amazing. That
it would make you so happy. All right. Well, yes, there's so much going on. Now in the second half of the season, the NBA has just ramped up their games in order to get them all done in time. And it is, teams are playing like four games a week. And obviously,
I think there's like 30 games left for most teams, 30-ish. So yeah, 72 games.
Got to knock them all out.
10 seeds.
All right, well, let's talk some waiver wire ads then. As always, we have four different categories for our waiver wire targets. We have the dunks, our dunks for every week, which is 70% and under rostered on ESPN. Layups, 50% and under, open three, 35% and under. And then the long two, under 20% rostered in ESPN. Let's start with our dunks, Natty. Why don't you start us off? Who is your dunk for this week?
Let's take a walk down memory lane and revisit one of our boyfriends, Mr. Joe Ingles. He's a foreigner, so exotic, which is nice.
Always look for that on your fantasy team. If you're like,
for sure,
all right, this guy's pretty good, but is he exotic? And in this case, Joe Ingles, Joe Exotic.
He is the 53rd best player in Fantasy Basic over the last month. That's pretty nice since he's only 62% rostered. Since 2021 began, and basically for the whole year, really, he's 12 plus points per game, 3 plus boards per game, 4 plus assists, 5 plus 3-point attempts, and he's hitting those threes at a 51% efficiency. He's 55% from the floor overall. This is crazy. So, Joe, Australia Joe is 49% from three for the season. but 51% over in 2021. He has a 73 true shooting percentage on the season. A 73. That's second behind DeAndre Jordan, second in the NBA. He is the best out of everyone who averages 5+ 3-point attempts per game. He's better than Brooklyn Joe Harris. He has been absolutely fucking sensational. And the fact that he isn't 10% more rostered is a travesty, just like it always is every fucking year. You know, him and Rob Bob Covington have sort of been these dudes over the past 3 to 4 years. Rocco isn't himself, or he hasn't been as productive as he's been over the this season. But Joe Ingles, man, like, you don't need to buy that kind of production. You can just go get it because he's available in over 30% of leagues. You can probably trade for him, not too steep since he's a little bit older. Utah's playing incredible team basketball, and Joe Exotic is one of the reasons why.
I feel like he wasn't last year, but maybe 2 years ago. I feel like that was the first time that people were like, oh, Joe Ingles, like, low key, you know, he felt like that next, like, uber elite 3-point shooter who was going to kind of be the starting three or four for the, you know, for the Jazz coming. And he had his moment and everyone was like, oh, Joe Ingles. And then last year, or maybe like, I feel like last year, he's just hasn't been quite that. I feel like everyone thought, here's what it was. Everyone thought he was like the natural replacement to Gordon Hayward. He had that 1 year.
Yes.
And then it just hasn't quite been that. But I feel like that has then everyone has soured on him rather than being like, oh no, okay, it's fine. Joe Ingles isn't Gordon Hayward, but Joe Ingles is still a wildly productive player, particularly in fantasy, and obviously fits the Jazz's offense super well. And so, yeah, totally. The numbers that you listed, you would love to have those on your team. And the fact that you can more get, I mean, you said 62% rostered. He's out there. Go at him.
The thing that happened was 2 years ago, he became a distributor as well. So He's a point forward for a lot of those games in Utah. And then Mike Conley last year had to be incorporated into the team. So Joe's role changed again.
Right. His usage. Yeah.
And now they've figured it out. And everybody, including Royce O'Neal, like, they're just playing so, so well, the Utah Jazz. They're playing Spursy basketball, which makes sense since Quinn Snyder, their coach, is from the Pop Tree. And Joe Exotic does not look exotic. He is an old, slow white guy. He definitely looks like a dad, like, with a truck. And he's another one of these sort of slower players that we talk about week to week, like slow-mo Kyle Anderson, our favorite.
Good old Kyle.
He gets the job done. He has great court vision. He talks enormous amounts of shit, which I absolutely respect.
It is. I always feel like there are reports that come out, or just anytime you are watching a game against the Jazz, the amount that his amount of chatter coming from that man.
He doesn't stop talking.
No, it's next level. It's you know what? It's honestly impressive. Like, good for him. It takes some true cojones to be an older looking white man playing basketball and spit shit. I give him props for that.
Like, if he just wore a regular dad alligator collared shirt, you would not think that he was an athlete.
It's true. And yet he is on the court, probably talking the most shit out of everyone on the out there, you know.
Totally.
You give him love for that. All right. My dunk this week is a guy who, well, pretty much only dunks, but man, he dunks in glorious fashion. And I have to talk about my beloved Boston Celtics and our beloved Time Lord.
What time is it?
Oh, baby. Robert Williams III, 56% roster in ESPN leagues. Last four games, he's averaging 13.8 points, 11 boards, 1.8 assists, and the piece de resistance. 0.8 steals, 2.8 blocks, giving you 3.6 stocks per game. That kind of production is just arousing. And the fact that you can get that on your fantasy waiver wire, yes. Personally, I want him to be starting in Boston. For whatever reason, Brad doesn't seem to be wanting to do that. It is soul crushing because basically he is a walking highlight reel when he is on the court, and he just routinely makes physical and athletic plays that just don't seem humanly possible. And yet he does them, but his role has been increasing and he makes the most of the minutes that he's on the court, and it's fun to root for him. So he's 100% worth rostering. We talked about him way early in the season as a guy to go mm-hmm. get, and then he kind of had a lull slash the Celtics were trying to figure out what the hell they are, and they're still trying to figure out what the hell they are. I have to say it's giving me a lot of pleasure watching them just like throttle a team that they should be throttling.
I think they know what they are and it's not good enough.
Well, yeah, until they trade for, I don't know, Aaron Gordon.
I mean, maybe like they have that enormous trade exception,
which Danny Ainge has said multiple times is saving it for this offseason, which I'm very sure. curious as to like who that entails. Then is that Beal, and they're just going to get Beal in the offseason, or I don't know.
The fundamental truth about the Boston Celtics is that you can't trade either of their two good young players,
right?
Like splitting up Jaylen and Tatum doesn't make sense. So there isn't a solution every year. There is not an answer to every question every season. This might just not be Boston's year. And that's a little bit disappointing, but when you look at the roster they have, like Time Lord, they're bringing him along. You know, like that's what they're doing. They're bringing him along. They're not rushing him, which I think is smart.
Totally
playing
smart
for the future. Yep. And they're not asking him to do too much. Play within yourself. Marcus Smart coming back is a really good thing for Boston, really good thing for Time Lord. And, you know, this team, the questions about the Celtics are sort of strange because we know who they are. We know what this roster is. Like, could they use a bigger front court? Yeah, sure. Could they use another wing player? Yeah, sure. Those are the same fucking answers to every other goddamn team in the fucking league. You know, like we focus on Boston because of how many trades, how many picks they had, like how much potential assets they had accrued. And they came out of it with two all-stars and two all-NBA players. That's good. So going forward, they're just going to sort of be a regular team when it comes to assets. That means you have to try to develop the players you have as much as you can. I think that's what they're doing with Time Lord, and I think it's paying off.
No, I totally agree. And we're seeing it. Yeah. And his time, way to bring it all the way around, Natty. Well done. Back to the man himself, the master of clocks. clocks and blocks. Ooh. Ooh.
That's, I feel like that's there's a, something a good there. Let's just have a podcast centered around him. Clock blockers.
Ooh. Ooh, that's good. Ooh. All right. I feel like shit. All right. I'm writing that down. Time Lord clock blocker. Oh, wow. Okay. While I just sit and just admire that beauty, why don't you give me your layup this week? God, that is whoo, Natty. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to recover from this. This is like, I feel like we just need to start making merchandise right now just so that we can put on a shirt clock blocker.
It sells itself, really. It's like, you don't amazing. Even need to know what the shirt would be referencing. You don't care if you're...
Weird Celtics Twitter would buy the shit out of a clock blocker shirt.
Absolutely. Okay. My layup, an under 50% owned player, is again this week, Duncan Robinson. He is 44% rostered. He's 112th on the player radar over the last month. 11 players take 8 or more three-point attempts per game this season. 11. Only 5 of those players have a better three-point percentage than Duncan Robinson. They are, in descending order of efficiency, CJ McCollum, Zach LaVine, Steph Curry, Malik Beasley, who's been suspended, and Dame fucking Lillard. That's a nice list to be on. That's a pretty nice fucking list to be on. He's 44% rostered, as I said, and he's been 112th over the past month. Joe Harris, who is 75% rostered, has been 113th over the past month. They basically have similar roles, but Duncan takes more shots and he's better at them. So this is a guy, this is almost like found money. I mean, if he's not on your waiver, maybe you can trade for him pretty low because his ratios are down from last year. But he's delivering top 125. He's giving you three-pointers made. And the Heat look pretty interesting recently. They look incredibly playoff-ish, if I can make up a word. And Jimmy's a lot of that. He's moving himself into the MVP conversation.
Would you say that they are going to Orlando?
I mean, that's just going to be a euphemism from now on. Like, oh, he's going to Orlando.
He's going to Orlando. Yep. Yeah. And we talked about him on last week's show where, like, he is a vital cog of this Heat's offense to the point where it's just like, his role as the predominant 3-point shooter is not going to change on this team because there's no one else on this team who is really going to challenge him. Like, unless Tyler Hero just goes absolutely blackout and,
he goes Orlando. Yeah, totally. But he's in a sophomore slump and Duncan Robinson is third in minutes behind Bam and Jimmy. I think he's locked in to 30 plus minutes per game. And when you have players like Bam and Jimmy, you're going to get some open threes. So if you're looking for 3-pointers made, look no further. Go get yourself some Duncan. Go Blue Robinson.
Nice. Another guy who's locked in, he's been so far this season, but also is about to be locked into some big time minutes. And I'm breaking a rule here, Natty. I know we said 50% and under rostered for our layups, but I'm just stretching it a little bit.
Tut.
I know. Poo-poo me. Kyle Kuzma, 54% rostered in ESPN. We've talked about him before and how he's a good target, but LeBron James, we talked about it, out indefinitely with a high ankle sprain. Kuzma is going to, I would say, be the one who benefits the most from LeBron's absence in terms of minutes, in terms of role. He's on the season averaging 12 points per game, 6.6 rebounds, 1.2 assists, and one stock. But in games where he started this year, averaging 15.5 points, 7.4 rebounds, and 1.1 stock, Natty. So you get that extra 0.1 stock when he starts. That's a big deal per game. But ultimately, like, if this Lakers team is going to try to work their way out of what their fifth place seed, or even just try to like hang in that space with Anthony Davis out, with LeBron out, like, this is going to be a time for Kuzma to shine and for Kuzma to kind of be the focal point of this team now. And you should be rostering that because that is going to produce fantasy viable numbers without fail.
This is not a streaming suggestion. This is pick him up for the rest of the fucking season.
100%.
Because AD is out for at least 3 more weeks. LeBron has a high ankle sprain, which could keep him out 6 weeks to 3 months to maybe he doesn't play in the playoffs. I was talking with my buddy earlier, and I do think that there's a significant chance the Lakers don't make the playoffs this year.
Ooh.
If neither of the stars come back, and the rest of the Lakers squad can't make up for it. I mean, they're third in the West right now. They're 28-14.
Okay.
The Mavericks are 21-19, and they're in the 8th seed. So, yeah, it would take a lot for the Lakers to just completely drop out to below the 10th seed, which is Memphis, by the way. But I don't think it's impossible. Like, there's a real universe that exists where no AD and no LeBron means the Lakers fucking suck. And it's just a lot of Alex Caruso playing too many minutes and Montrezl Harrell and Kuzma trying to do what they can. And, you know, Dennis Schroeder being like, I'm the best player on this team now. Oh, so my God. I run things, which that's maybe isn't exciting. The best thing in the world. The Lakers,
unless you're Dennis Schroeder manager, trouble. If Dennis Schroeder's on your fantasy team, you are loving life right now.
Oh yeah. Herr Schroeder is going.
He's about to put up numbers.
So much volume.
But yeah, this Lakers depth chart right now: Schroeder, KCP, probably Talon Horton Tucker at the three, and then Kuzma and Marcus All. It's not a great team.
Like, it's a better team than a bunch of teams in the East, but you're in the West and you're I mean, if LeBron and AD are going to be healthy for the playoffs, you don't care about the seeding.
Sure.
You could start even a play-in game. Like, you're not really that concerned. But if they're not coming back, all of a sudden it's like, shit, I wish the trade deadline was 2 weeks later, because maybe we'd sell some of these pieces as a Lakers organization.
I really think
that there's a chance that they're in deep, deep trouble.
Yeah. I like that spicy Lakers take, you know, Natty, because what have we talked about in this show? Spicy takes make headlines, and that gets clicks and views.
The thing that helps them is that Steph Curry in Golden State, another MVP candidate, is hurt. So yep. Who knows how long that goes for. Golden State's in the ninth seed right now. It's funny. Here's the 7, 8, 9, and 10, and 11 in the West. 7 is the Spurs, obviously. 8 is the Mavericks. 9 is Golden State. 10 is Memphis. 11 is OKC. Like, they're just a couple of games out of being a fucking playoff team.
Which is just, like, the most incredible thing in the world. Like, the fact that this team is... It feels like Sam Presti needs to try even harder to tank and bottom out.
If the Thunder make the playoffs, but the Pelicans don't?
Yeah, that's...
I don't know. Like, that's real, real fucking tough. That is a tough pill to swallow. That should not happen. Like, New Orleans, it's almost more important that the Thunder don't make the playoffs than New Orleans does. You know? Like, that's dreadful.
That would be trash.
But Kuzma... I think Kuzma and Harrell are going to have a ton of minutes and shots, and Herr Schroeder, of course, going forward. So all of those guys, volume, volume, volume. I don't care about the efficiency as much. They should be picked up for sure.
Yeah. The Magic have pulled this game within single digits, and I can't fucking believe it. So, you know, that's currently where I'm at mentally.
How's MCW doing?
Oh, your boy, 7 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists on 22 minutes, baby.
He's my trade idea. I came up with a trade idea for this episode.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
All right, well, because we're saucy and we're going to make you guys stick around before you listen to Natty's trade idea, let's take a quick ad break. All right, we are back. Natty, you alluded to a saucy trade idea around MCW, because everyone knows MCW is one of the hottest commodities in the NBA right now.
So he is not as attractive a trade piece as Aaron Gordon, clearly.
Certainly.
But with LeBron being out and the West sort of maybe being more open than we thought it was, especially if Curry's out too.
Yep.
Let's try to make the Clippers better.
Yeah.
The Clippers need a distributor. Have Kawhi. They have Paul George. They could use better guard play. I think it's tough this year with their financials and their assets to get someone like Kyle Lowry. And regardless of whether Toronto would trade Lowry or not, and it doesn't really seem like they want to, everyone wants to stick with the plan that they have. The Clippers could just use better guard play. They could also use someone who drives to the rim, because they're a jump shooting team right now. So this is a trade idea that is pretty boring and seems like small potatoes, but that I think could help the Clippers immensely, and the math works. Michael Carter Williams and Kem Birch for Luke Kennard and Reggie Jackson, RJAX. Yeah. Like we said, Orlando's the second worst team in the East, which is really fucking saying something. Luke Kennard hasn't worked out in LA. They just don't play him as much as we all thought that he would. RJAX isn't really working out. He's not the sort of player that the Clippers need in order to be seriously dangerous in the playoffs. Kem Birch gives you more depth up front, so it's not just Zubats. And MCW is a big guard who can distribute. He's not going to take that many shots away from you. He drives to the rim. He plays good defense. Like, you can imagine the Clippers going small where it's Pat Bev, MCW, Paul George, Kawhi, and Zubats. That's not bad.
No, that's
not bad.
Yeah, I think the Clippers definitely should make a move for a facilitator at the deadline. I feel like if that happens, if MCW does get traded to the Clippers and now suddenly kind of like steps better and, you know, more into the limelight and gets more attention on him, I feel like he needs to steer into the connection to the MCU and how big the MCU has been, and really just needs to somehow hype that up. So maybe, I don't know if it's like a name change to like Michael Carter Williams, and doing the MCU there. I think there's an opportunity there for him to really improve his branding. And
like tertiary Avengers with athletic, pro athletic histories. You know, he could be a Great Lakes Avenger for sure.
Totally.
The thing about MCW is that, like, you're not getting him to score. You would be getting him to help you with your defense and to move the ball around. Yeah. I just think it's going to be pretty tough for the Clippers to get a high volume scorer who is also a good two-way player. And this, like, if you can't be better on offense, be better on defense. And you're going to need good defense against the Western guards. And this is something that, again, the math works. And that is really what's constraining the Clippers for this trade deadline. What can you actually move?
You want to talk about some defense?
Yeah, sure.
My open three for the week. Under 35% rostered, Hassan Whiteside.
I thought you wanted to talk about defense.
He gets blocks, Natty. And that's all that matters.
He does. I mean, he gets his stats. He is a vintage fantasy player that you actually do not want on your real life team.
Exactly. When he gets minutes, he gets you elite blocks, elite boards, and sometimes points. He's back from COVID in the last three games for the Kings, averaging 16 minutes, 7.6 boards, and 1.7 blocks. The Kings might be sellers at the deadline. They could just like blow this whole team up. I mean, dude, I don't know what they're going to do, but there's
a catastrophe.
Yeah.
There's a lot. Kidding?
A lot that the Kings
they're
could
17
and, should be
and
doing.
25.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Bagley breaking his hand sucks.
Yeah.
But they just, there's no reason for Nemanja Bjelica to be on that team. There's really no reason for Rashawn Holmes to be on that team anymore, especially if you're going to play Whiteside. It fucking sucks, man. I feel like I would can Luke Walton. The whole thing feels so Kings.
Yeah, it is the most Kings thing. And for me personally, I'm really hoping it eventually means Harrison Barnes is coming to Boston.
That's another trade piece that people are talking about.
I like it.
He is as solid as they come. He has championship pedigree, by the way.
You love to see that.
So I asked one of my buddies about this the other day. Like, Wiggins for Barnes?
Ooh, OKC.
Bring
OKC.
Harrison Bark.
Bring Harrison Barnes back to Golden State. Interesting.
Like,
no, I don't like
Wiggins.
It because I want Harrison Barnes in Boston. So that was a dumb trade. Dumb trade suggestion. You already
had
one trade suggestion.
I apologize.
Natty. You're not allowed to make any more.
With the way the NBA is right now, it's just trade idea, trade idea, trade idea, trade idea. And
of course.
I actually don't think that there's going to be that much movement just because of how little room to maneuver a bunch of teams left themselves this year.
I agree with you. I think this could be a little bit of a letdown trade deadline, especially since everyone's hoping for all kinds of chaos to go down. Who's your open three for the week?
My open three, under 35% owned. We have talked about him before. This is the definition of a young 3D player, all around two-way. Sadiq Bey of the Detroit Pistons is 20% rostered. He's 75th on the player rater over the past month.
It's not bad.
He's 20% rostered. okay, since February 1st, he's averaging 13 plus points per game, 5 boards per game, over an assist, 6+ 3-point attempts on 40% shooting from three. Only 5 players are doing that on the season. Paul George, Zach LaVine, Steph Curry, the fucking finisher, and Nikola Vucevic.
Oh, the finisher. I have so words. Yes.
Lauri Markkanen on the season is maybe one of the closer comps to what Sadiq's been doing. Markkanen on the season is 18 plus points per game, 5+ rebounds, 1+ assists, 7+ 3-point attempts, 40% shooting. Again, Bay since the start of February is 13-5-1, 6+ threes, 40% shooting. Lauri Markkanen is 80% rostered. Sadiq Bey is 20% rostered.
It's the Detroit curse because no one is fucking cares about the Pistons, worth four times the value.
Well, yeah, totally.
No, it's Chicago, perfect. Take advantage of it.
It is beyond that he is not owned in at least 50% of leagues because he's getting volume. Like, this isn't just a dynasty play. This is an all-around top 75 player who will be getting you minutes. So everyone should jump on board. He's looking like one of the 5 best players from the rookie draft class.
Plus, added bonus, every Monday I drop my fantasy basketball forecaster on faketeams.com. Indeed. We're more than just a podcast. And Detroit Pistons having the number 2 easiest schedule this week, playing the Pacers, Nets, and Wizards.
I would just like to say that that's not easy, and I really, god damn it, I thought you were going to do this. That's tough, all right? We're trying to get out of the cellar. The Pacers always play us hard because of obvious reasons. The Wizards are looking rough these days. Like, everyone's sort of getting their legs back. They're looking better.
Easy schedule.
God damn it. Yeah.
Deep Bay. Adam, and we're gonna start him. And you're going to go 0-3.
I mean, that's fine. Sure. Let's go get Cade Cunningham from Oklahoma State. That's fine with me. That's absolutely fine with me.
It's really big of you. Really big of you to be like, we'll take one of the best players in the country.
Okay, dude, if you're going to fucking tank, it's like the Spurs when they had the Admiral and then they got the number one pick because they fucking tanked in 1998 or whatever before everybody else was doing it and got Tim fucking Duncan. I will take Cade Cunningham, who looks like a distributing wing who could make a real difference on a team like the Pistons.
All right, let's move on. Last group that we have for waiver wire ads, the long 2, 20% and under rostered guys. We talked about Steph Curry, how he's out with a bruised tailbone, and in his place has stepped Jordan Poole, 17% rostered. Started the last 2 games for Golden State, averaging 25.5 points, 3 boards, 3.5 assists, and shooting 40% from three on 7.5 attempts. Basically just instant offense to stream on your fantasy team for as long as Steph is out, which could be a while because let me tell you, as someone who has bruised their tailbone before, it hoits and you're out for a while.
And he like crashed into like
a metal.
Looked bad. Did not look great.
Didn't look
good. Bunch of MVPs going down recently.
It's almost as if the basketball gods are determined for Dame to get it.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. I like that. Golden State could so easily fall out of the running for the playoffs that it could really last a while for Curry. So I love Jordan Poole, go blue. And that team has a bunch of stuff on it now. You know, like Wiggins, Oubre, Wiseman was in the doghouse, and it's just this is a strange year for the Warriors. They've had 2 strange years in a row. But next year when Clay is back, knock wood, I think that they, especially if this Minnesota pick ends up being real, real good and they get Cade Cunningham.
They're going to be back in it. I think the Clay Thompson people are forgetting just how good that man is. Cause now he's had 2 years back to back that he's missed.
He's literally one of the best players in NBA history and one of only a handful of dudes who can score 40 plus fucking points like that.
Yeah.
Like that, Pete.
Speaking of scoring points really fast, Jaylen Brown, 10 for 18 from three.
Nice. There you go. See?
Nice. Jaylen. I fucking love Jaylen. I love him so much. Wrap us up, Natty. Who's your long two this week?
This is a guy we've spoken of before, but I'm going to ask you a question first.
Okay.
If you can decipher who it is.
All right, I'm ready.
All right, all of these totals for the season are before Sunday's games.
Okay.
So for the entire year, these are the players who have at least 200 total rebounds, 60 total assists, 40 total steals, 10 total blocks, and have a 50% field goal percentage or better. So 200 boards, 200 dimes, 40 steals, 10 blocks, you make at least half of your shots. This is the list. LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis, Joker, Ben Simmons, the chosen one, Domantas Sabonis, Thad Young, who is a fucking big-ass trade chip. Yeah. Fucking
love myself some Thaddeus. Some Gladiator Thaddeus.
And our long two sub-20% rostered player who has been top 100 over the past month. This guy is under 20% rostered and has the same totals as the guys on that list that are all 90% owned except for Thad Young. Do you know who this player is?
All right, so he's going to get you rebounds. So it's rebounds and assists.
And steals. And we've talked about it before.
We've talked about him before. Is he over 20% now? Is it Jayshon Tate?
It is Jayshon Tate. Yes! Good fucking job, bro. What? Yes. Oh. Polite applause isn't enough. You get a standing ovation. Goddamn done. Jayshon Tate is under 20% owned and has the same volume of counting stats as those other dudes. And by the way, he's done it in the second least amount of minutes. So he is absolutely worth your goddamn time in fantasy. He's not a three-point shooter. What do you care? He's found money.
Oh, yeah.
He's 18% rostered. And, excuse me, he's young. His outside shot might develop. In the meantime, he's number one in minutes, I believe.
He's
number one player on Houston in total minutes since February started.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking
He should be rostered. He should be rostered everywhere. You're 100% right.
He plays more than anyone else on the Rockets since February started. He is not going to be an all-NBA level player, I don't think, even though this is a good start. This is a pretty good start. And Christian Wood coming back, I think, will actually help him. And he might even do better down the stretch. This is a dude, he should be 50% rostered. No problem.
Yeah. Since the start of March, he is averaging 11 points, 5 boards, 1 and 2 assists, and 2.7 stocks.
Is that good? I feel like that's pretty good.
I feel like those are pretty good numbers and numbers that you would want to have on your fantasy team.
And by the way, like, he sucks at threes, but he's shooting 50% from the field. He's not
And he doesn't take threes. That's the
right
thing too.
Exactly.
If he's not good at them, that's great. He's averaging I think 2 attempts per game, which is okay, fine. Good to know who you are, but you, like you said, yeah, 50% from the field means he's getting into the paint and he's successfully scoring for you while also giving you stats in the rebounds and on defense, which obviously you love.
You know what the Rockets actually strangely know how to do? They know how to let a player who doesn't have an outside shot still succeed, because they had to do it with Westbrook last year. And for about a 2-month stretch, Westbrook looked like one of the best players in the NBA again, because his efficiency was so good, because he wasn't doing the dumb shit that everybody didn't want him to do.
Yeah.
Jayshon Tate is playing within himself, that he's getting all of the minutes. Like, I can't stress enough how much volume is important, especially on bad teams. Like, going forward for the rest of the season, it's Christian Wood and it's Jayshon Tate.
Yeah. And you should be rostering both those guys and Jayshon Tate. You can. So there you go. Easy play right there.
I do have another heave this week.
Logo Dame?
Indeed. Because it's the same dude. Aleksej Pokusevski.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
So he's 5% rostered. Over the past six games, he's playing at least 27 minutes per game. Over the last week, he's 10-8-2 with threes made. It seems like he's getting minutes, whether Isaiah Roby or Al Horford or, you know, like the guys that play center are in a rotation, but he's getting his minutes at the four. I think this is the dude. He's 19. He's 7 feet tall. If he can actually fill out and become a good NBA player who can play 30 plus minutes a game, that guy is going to be dynasty gold for 10 years at least.
Yeah, you are 100% right. If you have this space for him, and the nice thing about him is he's giving you numbers now, which is like so much easier to give up a roster spot for maybe someone's potential when they're also giving you good numbers now, as opposed to like, you know, someone where you're like, well, they could develop like Anthony Edwards. Obviously, Anthony Edwards is still still great fantasy wise, but we've seen flashes of just how good he could be.
Yeah, 43 and, points. Nice job.
Yeah. And at times he hasn't quite done that consistently enough. So he's like a higher level of that. He was just the first guy that popped into my mind. So anyways, Pokusevski is a great call.
And Edwards has had a really rough freshman year in the NBA. Like two coaches, everybody got sick, everybody got hurt. You're the number one draft pick. Everyone's talking about Lamb Ball. It's been real tough for Minnesota. It's been real tough for Edwards. That's what happens when you're the number one pick. Like people notice what you do. And honestly, like they haven't looked as terrible as they had at the beginning of the season. They're 3-7. Cat's back. He's playing really well. I still don't believe in DAR, but when he comes back, you know, that should be a boost. Like the fact that Edwards has been having to play without the two other stars
right.
means that he's had more of the attention on him just because he's the number one pick. So, you know, you could see his efficiency rising through the rest of the season, I think, if they get people healthy.
All right, let's wrap up with DFS studs and duds. It is when both Natty and I pick one player who we think will perform above average in fantasy this coming week and one who will underperform. Last week, Natty went 1-1, putting his record on the season at 7-5. And yours truly, for the first time this year, an 0-2 defeat.
Oh, no.
I know. Now 9-3 on the year. Damn that triple-double that Draymond dropped against the Rockets, because otherwise I would have had him. But he dropped like 30 fantasy points and that just skewed his average for the week. So not a fan, but I'll stick with the Rockets. And this week, my stud got to get back on the horse. And I'm saying Christian Wood going against the Raptors, Hornets, and the Timberwolves twice. And in his first two games back, didn't miss a beat, 19.5 points and 10 boards. So the man's a walking 20-10. Oh yeah. I feel like any team that has the potential to keep him shouldn't let him, hit free agency.
That's some passive aggressive bullshit right there. Fuck you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. God damn. Shit. I feel the same way about Gordon Hayward, but whatever. Let sleeping dogs lie. God damn.
Who's your stud for the week?
Well, we already talked about him. It's Montrezl Harrell. In March, he's 18 plus points per game, 7 plus rebounds, 1 plus assist, 1 block, 66% from the floor. No LeBron, no AD. The Lakers play the Pelicans, the Sixers, the Cavs, and the Magic. Excuse me. Now, I actually don't think that's an easy lineup for Montrezl Harrell. But I do feel like the volume is going to result in more counting stats. So that's all that I'm counting on this week. I think Kuzma, Herr Schroeder, and Harrell will have more minutes, more shot attempts, just because of LeBron and AD's absence. So it's sort of like by default.
Yeah. No, I like that. Montrezl Harrell. Don't forget that silent L in there.
Who's your dud?
My dud this week, Jonas Valanciunas has it.
I thought about him. Yeah.
Tough stretch. Tough. Celtics Thunder, and then playing the Jazz twice in back-to-back games.
Yeah.
And obviously the Jazz, Rudy Gobert, you're going up against that. But the Celtics also have been really good against big men this year. And it's just like, that is a murderer. That's a tough stretch to be at. And it's killing. It's crushing for me because Jonas Valanciunas is on one of my fantasy teams. And I've been loving this just like double-double machine stretch that he's been on.
With but I think Andre Drummond out, it's been like
he's just Jonas Valanciunas king
for sure, and a consistent dub. Like, he knows his role in that team, and he just does it all the time.
Yeah, but anyways, I think it's going to be kind of a rough week for him. So I'm not getting too hyped about his fantasy production this week.
It's funny because Ja is my dud.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So, like you said, Boston, OKC, and Utah twice. Ja's three-point shot, not happening this year. Not happening this year. Only two players drive more than Ja this year. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Luka. SGA is averaging 55% on drives, and Luka is at 58. Ja, who is third in average amount of drives to the hoop, is 46%. He's 10 points worse than than number one and number two. That's not great. I just don't think that this is a good week for him in terms of perimeter defense. I don't think that I think he's in a little bit of a sophomore slump, even though he's been fantastic. And I do feel like Memphis has a legitimate shot to make the playoffs, at least the play-in game. 3J isn't back yet. They're also a team that could make a move, I think. And I don't know. I just sort of feel like this is a tough time for Ja right now.
Yeah, I certainly agree with that. I think that you're having tough matchups, and is also as someone whose offense is predicated, like you said, getting to the hole. When you're having to compete with Rudy Gobert and the clock blocker himself,
dude, and Marcus Smart. And Lou Dort.
And Marcus.
And fucking, like, there's, it's almost like it's designed to give him headaches. Like, he's going to get pushed around this week, I think. He might not play all four games, really.
I agree. Awesome. Well, there you go. Some good fantasy content for the week.
I have a few more things. But these are important.
Off of this show, and you will never be invited back on.
I know. I'll be quick. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Guess who's coming back? DeAndre fucking Hunter.
Ooh.
The Atlanta Hawks are in the fourth seed before Sunday's games in the East. They're basically tied with the Heat. Danilo Cincinnati's Gallinari has been playing better. Yep. Like, people are healthy. They like their new coach. They've had a cupcake schedule, but there's no reason to think that they can't keep doing this since the East is fucking trash. Like, the Pacers are in the ninth seed. You know what I mean? Like, they should be better than that. And Boston's in the eighth. It's the Hawks could end up as a top five seed. If DeAndre Hunter comes back fully healthy with his perimeter defense, before he went out, he was averaging 30 plus minutes per game, 17 plus points per game, 5 plus boards, 2 plus dimes. He's 23 years old. He's coming into his own. He is really important to this team. And I think that they might bring him along slowly, again, because they're in the fourth seed right now. And, you know, I can't imagine that they care too. They don't care about seeding more than they care about the long-term health of one of their star young players.
Right.
The Hawks have a chance, and Hunter helps them. He will play a lot once he gets his back under him in a couple of weeks. So if he's on your waiver and you can spend a roster spot for the next couple of weeks while he comes back and ups his minutes, go grab him. I think he's a great dynasty ad and a great ad for the second half of the season. And the last thing I had for you, well, actually, there are two things. My favorite stat line.
I'm going to kill you.
I know. I'm so sorry. But this is trade adjacent.
Okay.
Norm Powell had a 43-point game this past week. He made eight threes, shot 14 of 18. He has the second best three-point percentage of all players who average six-plus three-point attempts per game. He has a 65 true shooting percentage on the season, which is eighth best of all players. It's tied with Joel Embiid. He's 27 years old. He has a player option for next year for $11 million. The Raptors are currently out of the playoffs. If you're not going to trade Kyle Lowry,
he seems
why
like,
not trade Norm Powell?
Yeah, he does seem like a pretty obvious piece to move where you can get a fair amount in return.
A sharpshooter who's young and, you know, is not going to pick up his option because he can make more than $11 million in free agency. So it's money off your books, or it's a guy that you can try to sign long term. I love Norm Powell. You know that. Yep. If Toronto isn't going to trade Lowry or any of their other dudes, I think Norm Powell is a guy you can trade.
Yeah, I like it.
And the last thing I had for you.
We're going to just start MVP a new segment race. At the end of the show. At the end of the show, it's just going to be Natty says more things, shit. And that's how we're going to wrap up the show.
But we're still under an hour, so technically it's okay. So Embiid and LeBron are out. The MVP race, in my opinion, is now Joker, Dame, Jimmy Buckets, who's been playing phenomenally, by the way.
Yeah.
Harden, Kawhi, and Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
If the Bucks finish with the number one seed in the East, because Philly drops off and the Nets don't care,
right?
And Utah and Phoenix finish 1 and 2 in the West because they're playing really great team basketball and the Lakers drop out and the Clippers can't, you know, they don't really care about winning those top spots. And Giannis's numbers are all sort of the same. Like, he could win it by default.
Maybe. I feel like he's starting to approach that, like, James Harden, Russell Westbrook exhaustion, where people are going to just be looking for someone else to give it to. But you're right. Like,
totally. But here's the thing. No one dislikes Giannis.
No, Harden, that's true.
They don't want to give it to Harden because he forced the trade. Dame, if Portland doesn't finish in a top three spot in the West, then can you give it to him? If Joker and Denver don't win a top three seed in the West, can you give it to him? Kawhi, if the Clippers don't make a top three seed, like, all of those questions sort of have the same answer. And if Giannis and the Bucks grab the best record in the East, I actually sort of feel like you need better arguments against voting for him than you do for voting for him. Just because Embiid and LeBron are now out.
Yeah. I still think it's Dame's trophy to lose, but the narrative is certainly there.
Jimmy's coming. He has been incredible.
I feel like, though, he's been a quiet incredible, and just like you need the splashy narrative in order to win MVP. So maybe if the Heat are able to like lock up a top three seed in the East, all because of Jimmy,
sure.
Then I'm here for that. But I also think that so many people are excited about Bam, and Bam being like the young, you know, transcendent big man who's like, he's another one of these unicorn centers, whatever, that's going to constantly, people are going to think more about Bam than they're going to think about Jimmy when they think of the Heat, which is never good for an MVP campaign.
Can I tell you why? I do savvy that emotion. Here's why I disagree with you.
Okay.
Since the beginning of March, Jimmy Buckets is averaging 25-8-7 with 2.5 steals per game.
That's
and
good.
He's shooting 56% from the floor. Those are MVP numbers.
Yeah, that's fair, dog.
That's all I got. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. There's just so much that happened this week, and a lot's changed. Like, basically everything, the worst case scenario for a bunch of teams actually ended up happening.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's super true. The LeBron and Steph injuries are pretty brutal for go their respective teams.
Go get Kuzma.
1,000,000,000%. Make sure you subscribe to the Fake Teams Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. That's how you'll not only get us, but also our fantasy baseball and fantasy football shows. Follow us on Twitter at The Long Two Podcast, and we will be back at you next week. Until then, Natty, stay safe, my friend.
You do the same. Ditto to everybody. Enjoy NCAA tournament basketball. It's been crazy so far.
It really has been. Talk about upset galore.